Morning, it's nice to be with you again. If you would, open your Bible with me to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 1. I'd like to take a few moments this evening to discuss the topic of temptation, trials that we face as Christians sometimes. We know as we live the lifestyle of a Christian, it's very common for us to face these various trials, to face these various temptations that the devil puts in our lives. That temptation, that sin is all around us everywhere we go. And everything that we do, it's there trying to pull us in. It's constantly trying to work its way in to our lives. Satan is out there. He's roaming about like a roaring lion trying to get us to betray what God would have us to do. That being said, how can we as Christians be happy? How can we as Christians still be content with our life as that temptation is out there and we're fighting that back and forth battle between righteousness and sin? And that's what it is. The Christian life is a battle. It's a battle between the fight of righteousness and the luring temptation of sin. So in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we see a passage that concentrates on this very heavily. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So the first thing that we see here from the passage in James chapter 1 is that temptation is inevitable. It's what we understand to be something that we are not going to be able to live a life as a Christian without it. It's going to be something where if we are going to be ones who serve the Lord, if we're going to be ones who want to follow His will, we will endure this persecution, this trials, these temptations. But we can still count it all joy when we fall into these things. In verse 2 of James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when we fall into these trials, not if we're going to face these trials. We will, but we can count it all joy when that happens. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 12, the point is made there by the Apostle Paul. In verse 12 of Timothy chapter 3, it says, let deacons be the husbands of... That might be 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe, is what I was going for there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So the point there is, if we are going to be ones who desire, if we're going to be ones who want to be a Christian, to live the life that God would have us to live, temptation will be inevitable. It's going to be something that we think, well, it's not going to happen to me. It's going to happen to this guy. It might have happened to this guy that we heard of in the past, but I'm not going to face that. We need to let ourselves know that we need to be on guard for these temptations, to be watchful for them, because it is inevitable if we're trying to be ones who are going to follow Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, the same point is made here with Christ. Christ Himself was also tempted. So if we believe that we are beyond temptation, we need to look back here and notice that even Christ was not beyond temptation. In verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 2, it says, for in that He Himself, talking as Christ, has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. So the point that's being made here is that Christ Himself was tempted by the devil. We see that several times in Scripture, Him being one who was tempted to sin. But because of that, He can sympathize with us, as we read there in verse 18, but also in chapter 4, a little later in the chapter, in verse 15 and 16.
In verse 15 and 16, the Hebrew writer writes, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When we are in that time of need, when we are going through these trials, when we are faced with these temptations, it needs to be evident to us that yes, these things are going to happen. It is inevitable that we will face these things, but Christ Himself did. And when He did, He was able to overcome, and because He was, He is able to sympathize with us. We have somebody we can go to aid in these trials. We have somebody who understands what it's like to be tempted by the devil and sin, because Christ Himself was. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the point there is made that no matter what the temptations, what the temptations are and how great they might be, it's never going to be something that we're not going to be able to overcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to a man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Whatever temptations we face in this life, however great they may seem, however great that they may be, truthfully, it's going to be something that we are going to be able to overcome. It's going to be able to be something that we can fight through, that we can endure. Because it says it right there, that no matter what it is, He will give us a way of escape. Whenever there is a wrong path to take, there is also going to be a right path to take as well. So when we look down that, we think this is the only way. It's something that I can't help this. It's the only way for this. Open our eyes, open our hearts and minds. There is going to be a right way whenever there is a wrong way. He will give us that opportunity of escape so that we can bear those temptations. And lastly, in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 35. The point is made there the same way here. 35 through 39 of Romans chapter 8. It says there, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.'" We will be able to conquer these temptations. There's not going to be a trial. There's not going to be a tribulation. There's not going to be a single temptation that is going to be able to separate us from the Lord. We will have the opportunity, as we talked about in 1 Corinthians 10, to take the right path instead of the wrong path. And that's the point we need to understand here. Nothing's going to be able to separate us from that love of God. He will love us through these temptations. He will love us through these trials that we face. And we need to recognize that we can turn to Him in those times, that He can sympathize with us because He was tempted. But that temptation is altogether inevitable. It's something that we are all going to face. It's something that Satan is going to get all of us with if we are ones who are truly trying to live as Christ would have us to live. But we need to understand in James chapter 1, in verse 3, that it says the testing of our faith, those trials, those temptations, when our faith is tested, it's going to produce patience. So how does it do that? Well, in verse 4 it says we are complete if patience is made perfect. These testings of our faith, these temptations, they can produce good. If we are ones who are able to look to God, if we're able to do the right thing and take that right path instead of following in that temptation, we will be made complete in our patience. But how is that? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 beginning. It says there, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against a brother, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do." So the point here, we need to clothe ourselves with patience. We need to clothe ourselves as patients. Put on tender mercies is what it read in the New King James Version. But other translations will translate that to clothe ourselves with patience. And it's very true. It's something that as a Christian, we need to understand that we need to have this characteristic amongst ourselves. We need to have this characteristic of patience. These trials, they'll get to us. These temptations will be inevitable, as we talked about. And when we go through these things, we need to understand if we be patient with these things, we will be able to overcome them. And it will produce a perfect patience and complete ourselves as Christians. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, we recognize that patience is very valuable to a Christian for many reasons, but this one in particular. Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 29, it says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." The slow to wrath here, this person who's slow to anger, is one who is patient. It's one who is going to not let his anger burst out. It's going to be one who has that patience to let things work through, to not let himself get to that anger, to that wrath. And it says there in verse 29 that he will be able to have a great understanding. This patience is going to allow us to have this great understanding. If we're ones who are going to be ones who are not patient and let ourselves get to that wrath, we're not going to be understanding. We will not have that great understanding, but rather we will be impulsive and exalt folly. We need to be patient as Christians. In Romans chapter 12 as well. In Romans chapter 12, I believe it gets closer to the idea that we're talking about in James chapter 1 of having patience in our afflictions. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It says there, we go up to verse 9 with me, "Let love be with hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." What we need to understand here is that this patience in affliction that it's talking about is what we're talking about in James chapter 1. That's how we can rejoice. That's how we can find this gladness, this happiness in our trials, in our tribulations. We can count it all joy that we face these things. It's because we can have this patience. We can have this patience in tribulations. We can serve the Lord. And of course, we can continue steadfastly in prayer. The point that we talked about in Hebrews of Christ going through those sufferings, Christ being tempted in all means as we were. The point there is so that we can pray to Him, so that we have somebody that understands us, that prayer can be there for us when we face those things. The best thing that we can do as Christians when we face these temptations, and other than having a previous knowledge of the Scriptures, our studies throughout our day to help build that faith, that we can combat these tribulations and these trials. The best thing that we can do other than having that faith is to pray to God. When we see that temptation facing us, when we see it before us and we have the opportunity to go after it, and there might be something about us that says that they want to go about fulfilling that temptation, to let ourselves go to sin, pray to God. Pray to God. He's there. He understands that. He recognizes the allurement of sin, and He recognizes that temptations are not something that is easily overcome all the time. They are hard, and we can pray to God for help. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, in verse 9. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." In Galatians chapter 6, we talk about reaping what we sow, right? If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap everlasting life. But if we sow to the flesh, if we sow to sin, we will reap destruction. And what we're talking about here in verse 9 is the conclusion of all that stuff. When we're reaping good things, when we're sowing to the Spirit, it says, "Do not lose heart. Do not grow weary, because in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." The point here is that as we're going through these things, as we have this patience about us, we need to understand that we're being patient for a reward. We're being patient for the reward at the end of those trials. That though we are facing a life, and like we talked about, the Christian life, battling sin versus righteousness, when we go through those things, a lot of the times we don't think it's doing us any good. And we think, well, I'm not seeing any reward for this. We need to be patient. We need to let patience run its course, and we will be rewarded at the end. And then in Psalm chapter 37, Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37, verse 7. It says there, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. What we need to understand is we need to be patient for these good works to reward us. The same thing we talked about in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. We need to wait patiently for Him. Don't fret about who prospers in His way. Don't fret about that rich man, that the man that's having everything, it looks like. We look at him and we think, he's got everything. He's got everything that I would want to have. We don't need to fret about those things. We need to wait until our reward comes to us for being patient in the Lord. In Psalm, a little later in the 103rd Psalm, 103rd Psalm, verse 8. Point there is made very clear. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. The Lord Himself is patient. The Lord Himself is somebody who possesses this perfect patience. He's made perfect through this patience as we can be. And as we know, we are to be imitators of Him. Look at His character. Look at His being. We are created as He was. He expects us to have those same characteristics as He does. So as the Lord was patient, we need to be patient. And that's the same thing. When sin is involved in people's lives and the Lord does not show patience to it, we need to understand that it's something that we, too, do not have to be patient with something that's error. We don't have to let it run its course. We're not supposed to let error run its course. We're supposed to kill it where it stands. And so we are patient as the Lord is patient. And through the testing of our faith, through when we have these trials and these temptations come about and we're tested, our faith is put in the ring and we're supposed to fight these things, we need to understand that in doing so, it will produce the patience that we need as Christians. But then the next thing that James chapter 1 talks about is ask the Lord in faith. We recognize that we saw that there in the early parts of James chapter 1, that we ask the Lord in faith. But what does that mean? In verse 6 it said, without doubts in our minds. We understand that if we have doubt in our mind or in our heart, it's going to do us no good to pray for help with these afflictions. If it's something that we're going through these temptations, we're going through these trials, and in the back of our mind we think, God's not going to be able to help me with this. He's not going to be able to get me through this. There's going to be something there, this is just too great even for God to help me with. If that doubt exists in our prayer for help, we need to understand that it's going to do us no good. We must ask the Lord in faith. And we must have faith to overcome these temptations. Faith is our sword. As Christians, when we face these temptations, one who falls to these temptations, there is a lack of faith involved somewhere along the way. A lack of faith that made him to recognize that this is wrong, that I need to do what's right, and God would not have me to act in the way I'm acting. That's the fact that we see here and most of the time when people fall to these temptations. We must have faith to overcome these temptations because we can't even ask God for our help if it's not present. In Matthew chapter 26... Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. We see here in the 41st verse, it says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We see here again a point we've already discussed this morning, but it gets into more detail. That we can combat this temptation by being watchful and praying to God. That these things that we try to overcome by ourselves, and it seems like we can't overcome it by ourselves, we need to pray to God to help combat these things. But first and foremost, before it ever even becomes a temptation to us, we need to be watchful for them. We need to see them happening. A lot of the times when it's harder for us to overcome temptation is it's because we don't see it happening until it's there. And then when it's there, it's hard for us to combat. We weren't able to stop it at the very beginning of its process. Now we have to stop it at its full-grown form. And that is the hardest temptation to stop, is at its full-grown form. And we need to understand that we can combat that by being watchful, by praying to God for help in our afflictions. But we need to have that faith. In Matthew chapter 21, a few chapters back in the book of Matthew, in verse 12, Verse 12 beginning. We're talking about Jesus in the temple. It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna, the son of David,' they were indignant and said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read? Oh, out of the mouth of babes and of nursing infants, you have perfected praise.' Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning he returned to the city. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' So Jesus answered to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" What we understand here is when Jesus approaches this fig tree, he tells it to bear fruit no more and it withers away. The disciples are marveled by this. They're saying, "How did this happen? How do you make a tree wither away like that so soon?" And he says, faith is what's doing it. He says, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll be able to do that to the fig tree. You'll be able to tell a mountain to move. He says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And so that's the point here. If we're asking in prayer, but there's no belief, there's a doubt in our minds that it's going to happen, that there's a doubt that we're not going to receive these things. It's not going to happen. But through faith, we are able to have our prayers answered. And that's the point here. As we go through these trials, these tribulations, the reason James makes this point in James chapter 1 is because if we're going through this and we're going to God for help, but we have doubt in our mind that He's going to be able to carry us through, it's not going to work. We need to ask the Lord in faith. Because this prayer is one of the biggest tools that can help us combat this temptation. And maybe it's not temptation, maybe it's other trials that arise. Maybe it's not the temptation to sin, but it's trials that make us depressed. It's trials that bring us down in life. It's things that as a Christian, we face hardship. And through that hardship, prayer can definitely help us. But that faith is absolutely essential. So we need to make sure we're studying our Bibles. We need to make sure we're being watchful for these temptations. Because if we are, we're going to be able to combat these things with the help of the Lord our God. And what we need to realize, thirdly, from James chapter 1, is that trials are greater than riches on this earth. That these trials, these temptations that we're counting all joy, are greater than those that are on the earth. Verses 9 through 11, it says, "A lowly man is glorified in his exaltation." It also says that a rich man will pass away, as does a flower. And so what we need to recognize here is that this lowly man being glorified in his exaltations, he's saying that these trials he's going through, this man that has been made lowly, he's being glorified in that lowliness. This rich man and his pursuits, they're going to perish. This rich man and his longing to be what he needs to be, this longing of more money, this longing of earthly power and earthly possessions, they're going to pass away as does a flower. These beautiful appearances, James 1 talks about in verse 9 through 11. These beautiful appearances perish. That can be appearances of our body. It can be the appearances as it's talking about as the flower that withers away. You know, we do so much work to ourselves sometimes to get plastic surgery, or we get these other things that would help us to look better. You know, we want to. It's vanity. It's things that we're doing to try to make ourselves better on this earth. And that's the point. That's not where a Christian's mindset should be. These beautiful appearances, they perish. And so does the rich man and his pursuits. These pursuits, these earthly pursuits of gaining money, of gaining power, of gaining earthly wisdom or riches. We talked about in the high school class earlier with Brian, people being overeducated. This point of this pursuit of education to an earthly standard, so much that you hear people say things like, "I'm too smart to believe in God. Of course I don't believe in God, I'm too smart for that." They've been overeducated. They've gone on a pursuit for earthly wisdom and earthly knowledge so much that they have gotten to the point where they are past what we need to know in a spiritual sense. But the pursuit of righteousness is never going to be in vain. This pursuit of beautiful appearances, this pursuit of knowledge, this pursuit of money, this pursuit of power on earth are going to be in vain. This earthly glory, the riches that come along with it, it's in vain. It all perishes away. It's things that might be blessings to us. Is it bad to be a man that has been blessed with lots of money? No, it's not. It's the attitude you take towards it. Are you one who's striving to get more and more and more and more? Or are you just content with what God has given you and taking what it is? Those pursuits will die. We entered this world with nothing, and with nothing we will exit it as well. But the pursuit of righteousness is what's going to reward us in the end. So the point here that's being made is that the man who is enduring these temptations is going to be blessed. James chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." Blessed is the man who goes through these trials, and because of it, he develops the patience that he needs to be made complete. Blessed is the man who understands that his faith in God allows him to pray, allows him to use God to help him overcome Satan. He's out there. He's roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you something, if you're one who's striving to do what God said, just as Paul told us, if we're striving to do the will of the Lord, he's after us more. He's already got everybody else. The people that are unwilling to submit to God's will, he's got them already. That's not his focus. His focus is on the people in this room. The focus is on the people around about this world who are serving God and doing what they should be doing. That's the point. Blessed is that man who endures that temptation. When he sees the devil come and he understands it to be, he's being watchful and he's praying to God and he can endure this temptation. This person that we're talking about here, this one who can endure these temptations, will receive the crown of life. A lot of the times, as we talk about, we face temptations. Whether we're Christians or whether we're not, we face temptations a lot of the time. The fact that maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian could be the fact that these temptations have gotten a hold of you. That the things of this world, the drinking, the partying, the having fun, the worldly things that sometimes allure us and may look great to us, have gotten you to the point where you don't want to give those things up. We need to take a lesson. Anybody here this morning that is like that man needs to take a lesson from James chapter 1. That blessed is the man who endures those temptations. Not the one who submits to them. Not the one who goes the path of sin. But instead chooses the way of right. Again, whenever there is a wrong way, there is also the right way to go. So what you need to do, if you're one who is like that, you're one that has let temptation grab a hold of you, you need to come to the Father to be saved. You need to let that faith in God help you to pray to Him, to forgive you of your sins. If you're one that's never been baptized, you must come to Christ, be baptized, be washed from those sins. The water is ready right now behind me. There is no better time than now to be saved. We're not guaranteed another second. We're not guaranteed another minute, day, month, or year. Whatever happens, it's going to be because the world ends. And if you are one who has not been baptized when that world ends, your fate is sealed for you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that He died for us, that He was tempted just as we are and can help you through anything in this life, you are ready to be baptized. If you're here and already having done that, but you've let this temptation that we talked about get in your life, you have not endured it, you've lacked faith, you've failed in whatever way it might be, we're loving you and we're helping you. If you need us, if you are subject to the invitation in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.